Welcome back, everybody, to the Brexit Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Hemming, and I'd like to start this podcast today by saying you all have a right to stay and listen to what I'm going to say next, if you so choose. Today, we're going to do things a little bit differently. I am going to be actually interviewing my co-host, Jennifer Hahn. Now, the reason for this is that Jennifer hails, you may or you may not know, from Berlin. So she has got more than most to think about concerning Theresa May's announcement today. So Jennifer, first and foremost, welcome to the Brexit podcast, your own Brexit podcast.
You cannot welcome me to my own podcast. And also, I don't really appreciate you calling me Jennifer. I feel very distant now. So thanks a lot, Tim. I know that I should also point out that I am more nervous than usual about recording this episode because this is quite a sensitive topic for a lot of people and something that means a lot to a lot of people, and yet a topic that's very convoluted. So I don't want to make any mistakes, but...
So that's probably a good point to pick up on. I can actually hear it in your voice slightly. So to start with, why do you feel slightly nervous about today's episode, given we've probably recorded about 80 of these things now?
It's the fact that we're talking about the future living situation, like the lives of a lot of people, namely EU citizens living in the UK, of which I am one, and this issue of whether they will be allowed to stay and what their rights will be after Brexit has been on the minds of so many people for so long, and then there's been so much anxiety about it, and I think there's been some anecdotal evidence that therapists and psychologists have seen an increase in the amount of people that have, like, in the amount of EU citizens that have come in to see them because they feel so depressed and anxious and worried about the subject. So this clearly means a lot to a lot of people. And at the same time, the government has been so unspecific about a lot of things, and there has been a lot of different, like, varying pieces of information that don't all fit together, and it's really hard to find the big picture. Even in researching this, I found a lot of things that don't really add up together, and I think that's caused a lot of confusion, and I don't really want to add to that any more than I have to.
Okay, so we should start right from the top to say that this is all about EU citizens' rights in this country and British citizens' rights on the continent. Now, last week, Theresa May made what she described as a fair and generous offer to the European Union. Now, today, and hot off the press, I guess, in some ways, she has just made another announcement. So, Jen, you've been following this quite closely. Have we got any more clarity on what Theresa May is proposing from this afternoon?
So basically, what she set out today is a 15-page policy paper that sets out more details on what the situation of EU citizens will be. And basically, bear with me, I'm going to try and summarize this as concisely as I can. All EU citizens who have been living here legally for 5 years will be able to apply for a special settled status using a new online system that's supposed to be a lot more light touch as opposed to the bureaucratic nightmare that people have been describing about residency applications. So they, under this new settled status, will have the same rights to work, education, healthcare, benefits and pensions as UK citizens, and their children or spouses will also be able to apply for this settled status. Now, the just about 150,000 people who've already applied for permanent residency since the referendum will also need to reapply for this settled status. Those who have not been here for 5 years yet will first of all have a 2-year grace period to accumulate those 5 years, and if by then they've still not been here for 5 years, they can first apply for temporary residency until they have reached those 5 years, and then they too can apply for the settled status. Everyone who arrives in the UK after a certain cutoff date, which has not been specified yet and will be at some point between when Article 50 was instated in March of this year and March 2019 when the UK officially exits, will not be able to apply for a settled status, but they will be given a 2-year grace period to obtain a work permit, and that work permit would then be under whatever new immigration system is set in place after Brexit. So that will sort of depend on whether May gets the strict immigration controls she wants, or whether she will have to concede to a softer Brexit that allows some free movement.
So there's a lot of stuff to get our teeth stuck into there. I guess the first point was that people who are already European citizens in this country, there will be an opportunity then to accrue the 5 years, and so they will get the settled status.
Yes, that's right.
Thank you. And then after a certain day, everybody else will be treated under new EU, new British migration laws that may or may not yet come to fruition.
After that cutoff date, they will first get a 2-year grace period under which they do not have to apply to get a new work permit. But once those 2 years are over, they will have to apply for a work permit.
Okay, I think you've explained it brilliantly, although I still think it's incredibly complex as a system.
Can I just say that, not to, this isn't me trying to deflect blame, but yes, it's incredibly convoluted, and there's also a lot of information out there that's worded very confusingly. So I think that is a major part of this issue, is that the information that's out there is just not digestible at all.
Okay, let's try and make it slightly easier then for listeners. Let's use you as an example, if that's okay, because I really want to find out how you feel about this as somebody directly affected. Anyway, can you tell us when you first came over to the UK, how long you've been here now, and therefore under Theresa May's proposal that she laid out today, how that would affect you directly?
Okay, so I came to England to study what will be about 3.5 years ago. So I will have been here for 4 years in September, which means I will have been here for 5 years, which means I can apply for settlement status. So I will be able to remain if I go through the online process of application.
Okay, and that also there means that you will just be treated as I would or any other British citizen. You would accept, you would retain the same rights.
That's right. However, I would lose certain rights that I have as an EU citizen in the UK. So basically, I would lose the right to vote in British local elections unless I go on to stay here for longer and apply for British citizenship. Or permanent residency even. You can vote under permanent residency as well, but I would have to get, as a settled person, I would not be able to vote. But if I then went on after 1 year of being a settled person, that sounds like a weird turn of phrase, you can apply for permanent residency, and that then would enable me to vote, but as it is now, I wouldn't. And then under current law, EU law, EU spouses and family members that are living abroad actually don't have to pass this income test that Theresa May introduced as Home Secretary, which means that, so for UK citizens who want to bring in a non-EU spouse or family member, that person needs to meet a yearly income threshold of £18,600. Currently, EU citizens in the UK are exempt from that, but that right would be taken away. So EU citizens here who have family members in a different country internationally and want to bring them in, that family member would then have to meet that £8,600 threshold. Which, by the way, I did not know that Theresa May had instated such a limit, and I only found this out in researching this, and I find that quite preposterous, can I just say?
Yeah, I think you can say. I mean, we try to be objective as we can in this podcast, but one reason I wanted to ask you all these questions today is to find out how you feel personally about it, because it very much affects you. Now, is this something for negotiation, or is this just something where the British Parliament, British government says, this is what we're going to do, EU, you're just going to have to accept it, because, you know, is it something that could be negotiated on? Obviously, there's two sides to this, in that there are British nationals living on the continent too.
This is definitely something that will be negotiated on. This is sort of, the EU has already set out their starting position for negotiations, and this is sort of the UK setting out its equivalent, and from here it's expected that both will have to move towards each other to some extent. So the EU set out an offer earlier this year, which basically stated that they want all people who move to the UK to retain their full bundle of EU rights, so even those that I just addressed a second ago. And there's also some disagreement about who will see to the adherence to these rights, if that makes sense. So currently, the right to free movement is an EU right, but it's set out in UK laws, but it is interpreted by the European Court of Justice. Because this is an issue of continuing rights established under EU law, that means the EU wants these new regulations and these new rights for EU citizens in the UK to also be overseen by the ECJ. So that's who people would turn to if they feel that their rights haven't been respected here. And I think this is really important because there have been some worries that while Theresa May may give EU citizens in the UK a fair deal now during the negotiation period, once they're no longer under the jurisdiction of the ECJ, she might change UK law to sort of discriminate against them in some way. So there's that concern. So that's, I think, why the EU is pushing for that to be regulated under a European court. But obviously May, as a part of Brexit, does not want to stay under the rule of the European Court of Justice. So she wants, she said that she wants these new rights to be set out in UK law, but that they would be subject to international law as well. But we've not had any specifics on that yet.
Yeah, thank you for that explanation, because the European Court of Justice is one thing that's hard and fast from the start of these Brexit, not just the negotiations, but ever since we went from the EU referendum, is that we would be moving away from the European Court of Justice. We have lots of debates about the customs union and the single market, but the European Court of Justice, we're suddenly starting to see where it plays such a huge role in the rights of citizens. So, I guess, you know, one of the questions that I have for you is, how does this make you feel? I mean, from my point of view, when we had the EU referendum and you had a sense of people feeling EU citizens who live in this country, and then they felt a sense of abandonment and a sense of loss and a sense that it wasn't the country that they thought it was, which has been bandied around to a fair degree since last year. Is this now a sense that this is really coming to fruition and we are making the first steps in that you actually are not wanted and actually you are just pawns, and it would be, you're just causing a bit of a fuss, and be better if you just buggered off back to your own country? Or do you actually think that it's a bit more pragmatic and that, and some good can come out of it?
Well, on some level, I'm now reassured because I will be able to stay, which I wasn't sure whether I was going to be able to before. So on that level, I am. However, I think this entire process has once again made clear to me how much Theresa May just is completely against immigration to this country, because... Well, first of all, she reaffirmed in the Queen's speech that she still wants to cut migration to the tens of thousands. And then George Osborne revealed in the Evening Standard that in the wake of the referendum last summer, David Cameron's cabinet voted to immediately guarantee the future rights of all EU citizens in the UK, just outright. And she was the only cabinet member that opposed this. This has not been confirmed, and she has denied this, but I would honestly not be surprised, because this sort of thinking is completely in line to everything else she's done this far. When the EU set out that they wanted sort of just a blanket agreement that EU citizens would be able to retain all their rights and would all be able to stay in the country until that cutoff date, that would have been a reassurance to EU citizens. What she's doing is, as has been said so many times before, using people as bargaining chips, and it's just the fact that she doesn't care. And I think that's also very visible in that number that we just talked about, that income threshold to people, to spouses from other countries of £18,600 income per year. And it's just, I think the entire environment coming from this government, I don't think it's coming from the entire country. I might be sheltered because I'm in London. I've personally, from other English people around me, not faced anyone saying, you're German, you should go back to your country, or we don't like immigration, but that's because I'm in London. So once again, caveat, that might be me being sheltered, but I think the government has very clearly shown where its priorities are, and it's not with EU citizens.
Do you think, just to come back at you slightly on that one, that actually Theresa May, all she's trying to do is follow through with the democratic process now? This country voted to leave the European Union. Immigration and a clampdown on immigration was really at the forefront to that, and that was one of the driving reasons for the vote. So she is just trying to enact the will of the people. And in terms of producing a minimum salary threshold that you need to be making every year so that you can bring across spouses, family members, etc., is she not just trying to align that with the current situation that we have with the rest of the world so that she's not discriminating against anybody from outside of the EU, for example, if, you know, my grandparents, my granddad, my late granddad, if he decided he wanted to marry somebody from China and he wanted to fly them over, then he has to be earning X amount. You know, that's the current situation.
The spouse would have to be earning X amount.
Is it the spouse or is it actually?
The spouse.
Okay, fine. Well, I mean, he's like I say, he's passed away now, so he's not earning a massive amount, nor is she. Okay, but do you see my point?
I think the thing to consider here is that income threshold she instated when she was Home Secretary, so that was before Brexit. So I think that shows that she had that opinion, that anti-immigrant sort of sentiment way before Brexit, and that I think that's still influencing her decisions now. And I think arguably the general election outcome showed that there is no backing for a hard Brexit and for one that discriminates against immigrants. So I don't think the democratic process argument is really holds any water here. And then on the second point, I think, yes, if these rights were taken away, EU citizens and the rest of the world would be on equal footing. But the fact is that equal footing in itself, I think, is incredibly discriminatory because it denies families the right to be reunited based on income. So say a British man marries a woman from India or wherever, and she moves to England to be with him, but they can't because they don't meet that threshold. So you're denying a family the right to be together because one of them doesn't earn enough money, and I find that incredibly narrow-minded.
Does this not make you want to just go and live back in Germany?
I love London, and I want to stay if I can. But I do have to say that, first of all, the atmosphere that's been around, and from the government, not from the people that I've encountered in real life, and secondly, the bureaucratic hurdles that people have been talking about have incredibly discouraged me from this. Now, Theresa May said that she wants to put a new sort of light version of the process for people who want to get settled online, so have it be more streamlined, have them have to produce less convoluted amounts of evidence and things like that. But I think a lot of people that have already gone through that process and who've had experience with UK immigration law know how convoluted and how discriminatory it can be, and I don't particularly want to be faced with that. So that's my view on that.
Okay, and just finally, we're going to wrap it up. Has the European Council issued a response yet to Theresa May? And what do you think, and what would you like their response to be to this latest 15-page document?
I don't believe there's been an official response as of yet, although I suppose by the time this episode goes up on Tuesday, they might have. There have been some informal comments from people. So German Chancellor Angela Merkel said that she thinks this is a good start, but by no means a breakthrough, and that there's still a lot to do, which once again speaks to what we were saying earlier, that there's still a lot of negotiating that needs to be done. European Council President Donald Tusk has said that this is below expectations and that it risks worsening the situation of EU citizens in that, as we talked about earlier, some of their rights will be taken away. Lib Dem leader Tim Farron has said that this is too little too late and leaves millions of people still facing unanswered questions about their future. And then there's also the 3 million campaign, which we've discussed before in an episode of the podcast, and they advocate for the rights of EU citizens in the UK, and their founder, Nicholas Hatton, has actually been quite strong on this, and he's called it disgraceful and the worst case scenario. I don't know that I would necessarily agree with that. Perhaps that's because I'm one of the people that will be allowed to stay. I don't think I have an opinion on what I want the EU to say. I just really wish that Theresa May would alter her opinion on the issue of immigration in total, not just in regards to EU citizens, but to generally people from any country. Because I think we've seen as a result of Brexit that there's been a mass exodus of skilled workers from the NHS, and we're now scrambling to find people to fill those positions. We're getting sort of nurses from India and things like that in, and like clearly reducing immigration is not the clue to solving the economic issues of this country. And I think that my dream scenario here would be Theresa May realizing that, although I don't see that happening really.
Thank you, and thanks for answering as candidly as possible. It's a difficult and emotional subject for you to address. When we haven't really addressed the rights of British citizens in Europe, we don't particularly have any information of that at this current point, but in terms of the podcast, we have got a few interviews lined up when we are going to be addressing those specific topics. So if anybody is listening from outside who's British and living on the continent at the moment, then rest assured that we do have our roving reporters out there to be able to fetch in your views.
And just to clarify, I haven't mentioned this earlier, but any agreement on citizens' rights in the EU and the UK is going to be reciprocal. So any deal that is agreed on will apply to both sides of this coin. So all things that happen to EU citizens in the UK will happen to UK citizens in the EU, just as I didn't set this out earlier. So it's really in the interest of both parties to make this as good as possible.
According to who?
That's just sort of been on the table this entire time, because obviously everyone wants to guarantee the rights of their citizens. So this has always been set out from the beginning, because obviously you're not going to get one deal for one side and then another deal for another side. No one's going to agree to that.
They're not necessarily going to agree to it, but if we're talking about filling in online forms and then proving residency and proving evidence, then that could, by its very nature, differ between countries.
I mean, the system of admittance would, yes, but I don't think the rights of the people would necessarily change, or how long they're allowed to stay in the country, or what kind of broad processes would be applied. It would be probably a different form that they would have to fill out. So I think there is some discussing there to be had about maybe a streamlining of what forms are used across countries. I don't know if there are any efforts made to do that, but that does certainly sound like a good idea to me to ensure some fairness.
Jen, thanks again for joining us today. The Brexit podcast is brought to you by Tim Hemming, Jennifer Hahn and Warren Pohl, with theme music by Kevin MacLeod. Catch up with us on all social media, Facebook, Twitter. Look forward to hearing from you. Recommend us some guests. Go and review the podcast on iTunes, and catch up with you soon.